Hallelujah.
Well, praise the name of Jesus forevermore and a day. We just bless the Lord. We praise God for you being here and all of those that are watching out there. And we'll just take another step into the kingdom tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands just for a moment. And those out there sitting in your living room or wherever your comfortable place is, Father, we just worship you. We bless you and praise you. You are so worthy, Jesus, so absolutely worthy to receive. And we give you all the praise and glory for this kingdom come and all the mighty works of God. And the people of God said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, we are. Can you see that parking lot full of people? Amen. I know you can. I believe you can. And the field is full and running over. Hallelujah. That's what you guys moved down here for, to help us. Hallelujah. Carl's going to help us. He's praying and he's security. And hallelujah. We appreciate that. Hallelujah. And all of you praying. Keep praying. We appreciate every moment of prayer that you put into this and helping us and all of you out there. We got our letter written. You'll see it tomorrow in your inbox. So read them. We don't just write them just so we can send them out. Read them. They have good doctrine in them. Hallelujah. We're just going to talk a little bit tonight on exposing the spirit of Antichrist. And we're not going into the deep prophetic, you know, let me use a big word, eschatology. That means end time events. We're not talking about the spirit, or we're not talking about the Antichrist as in the beast, which is, you know, Daniel talked about him, and then Jesus referred to the teachings of Daniel, or to the writings of Daniel, and he talked about when the end times would take place, that he referred to it as the abomination that maketh desolation, I think is the way he put it. And he's talking about when the beast or the Antichrist would raise up to fullness of power, go into the temple, declare himself to be God, and that's coming at one time, and that'll be at least at some point during the tribulation period. He'll be recognized as not being God soon thereafter. Many nations will join themselves to him, and but then he's going to be very exposed by the power of God, and he'll have a downfall. But there is an actual Antichrist, and who knows? Is that man alive on the planet? Possibly so. We do know the spirit of Antichrist is alive on the planet. But tonight, we want to talk about some exposures to things that are more relevant to us. And as part, you know, because we don't want to teach flowery things and then you don't have any relevance to them. You can't live by them, or you can't put your grasp on them and say, well, I want to walk out of here with some teeth in what, you know, is being taught to me. How's that going to help me in my prayer life, or how's that going to help me going forward in helping out in the revival? So there's a number of different places, and I talked about Daniel and Matthew chapter 24. We're not going to turn there, but Jesus talked about the Antichrist, and he talked about, he actually even referred to Daniel's teachings or Daniel's writings on it. Paul spoke about the Antichrist. And again, all of those things are relevant as far as end time events. And we're going to see those things in the days ahead. But tonight we're just going to talk about the spirit of Antichrist. It's much more subtle than the brazen, blasphemous, if you want to call it, you know, person of the Antichrist. Just pray with me, and let's just agree that God's glory is seen in his word and felt in his word. Father, we love you. We just thank you, Lord, for the anointing that goes forth in the power of your spirit. We give all the glory to God. Permeate our hearts and minds with your word. Help us to see things, and I pray that, Lord, your commentary on what I'm saying will be much more important and relevant to them than anything that I can say. So I'm asking you to teach them as I'm teaching, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. And we give you all the praise. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So as I said, the spirit of Antichrist is much more subtle than the brazen Antichrist himself. Now let me read some of my notes and we'll get into Scripture. The spirit of Antichrist wants to destroy, and this is where we're at tonight. This is the slant. This is the bent part of where we want to look at tonight. The spirit of Antichrist wants to destroy the human factor of godly living and power and replace it with a higher order to destroy the commonplace, the commonality, I don't know if that's even a word, and take the commonplace that Christ came to establish. And you'll see more as we give Scripture. John spoke of the Antichrist spirit in 1 John and in 2 John, and he spoke of the spirit and how that you could identify it, and how that you could identify it when you heard it. And so go to 1 John chapter 4. We're just doing some study of God's Word. And then I'm going to read some things here from the 1 John series that Gary Carpenter did a few years ago. So this is 1 John chapter 4 in verse 1. And John wrote, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." Is it in the world? "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Overcome them," and he's talking about those that perpetuate the spirit of Antichrist. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth," yes, amen, "he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. For many deceivers," okay, now that is in 1 John, but in 2 John he also refers to it, so you're right there, so just flip a couple pages. And 2 John 1:7, he also refers to the spirit of Antichrist, but he not only refers to that spirit, but how you can identify it by its voice or by what it says. "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh." Now that's the key right there. That's how you identify, and that's their message. They may not say it verbatim, but that's the message that they identify as far as being part of the spirit of Antichrist, that Jesus Christ, or who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Now John identifies the voice or the message of the spirit of Antichrist, and we just read that. And I'll say this, it's not a spirit that blasphemes Christ, but rather destroys the power of the new birth. And that's the subtlety of it. It destroys the power of the new birth. And that'll become more clear to you as we read some things out of this excerpt that we're going to read from the 1 John series. The commonness, here's what we have to watch, and you'll see this a little bit later in this message, in this teaching tonight. The commonness by which God works through his people, it seeks to destroy that. In other words, it wants to tag on a higher order of things that's not a higher order by which has been given by God. But in that tagging on, it will separate you from God if you follow that spirit. Or it'll try to separate your concept of being able to receive, being able to communicate, and also being able to walk in power. I'll read that paragraph again. It is not a spirit, the spirit of Antichrist is not a spirit that blasphemes Christ blatantly, but rather destroys the power of the new birth. That's what it wants to do. And the commonness by which God works through his people. In years gone by, I'll say this, and it's not been of recent, but in years gone by, I read what we just read concerning the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit that denies that Christ has come in the flesh, and has that as part of its identification. When he says that they confess not that Christ has come in the flesh. In years gone by, I read this as an attack on the deity of Christ. In other words, they were denying the deity that was in Christ. But really, it's just the opposite. It's really just the opposite. It's an attack on the humanity of Christ. It's an attack on his humanity. And you'll see this, and I'll tell you, I'll get a little ahead of myself, properly so, is that if you can separate who Christ was as in humanity and say that really that he was only God, then you come to a place where we find out through history and through some of these things that we'll read, is that you've got a good place, deceptive place of argument that I can't live righteous, because that was God only in the flesh. Now, he was God, but as you've heard me teach so many times before, he lived out his entire existence on this planet as a man born of God. And what they're really saying here, and we'll reiterate this as we read more, is that it was really just God, if you want to call it, in a shell of a form, but there was really no human existence in there. Are you kind of following me so far? In years gone by, I read this as an attack on his deity, but it's the opposite. It's an attack on the humanity of Christ. It's meant to put Christ and his works beyond our reach. Now, let me go to... most of you, and we did this a few years ago, and it may, a few years may have been more than just a few now. It's may have been 3 or 4. When Gary Carpenter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did a 21 lesson, I would call it a doctoral. I mean, it's really good. And we went through all of those lessons. There's 21 lessons. And they're at his website. They're the First John teachings. And there's 21 of them. And they're very extensive. So we're just going to kind of, I pulled this up and printed this out, and I definitely cannot go through this whole thing because I will lose you by looking down. But I want to read a number of paragraphs and help explain so that I can continue on with our lesson tonight. But he did such an excellent job in describing the spirit of Antichrist. There's one lesson on the 21 lessons that's actually the Antichrist. But this particular lesson is lesson 11, and it's Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So since we're using that as a kind of our launching tonight and as the argument of what this spirit wants to perpetuate in the church, and then what I really want to do is take it down to our level and help us to see where we have to guard ourselves against certain things. And so this is a lesson 11. If you want to go to his website, if you've not listened to the First John series, oh, please, my goodness. That's where we get the terminology from time to time. I'll say, church, are you saved? And you guys, you know the score, right? You know the score. Yes, we're First John saved, Pastor. Amen. So it is really incredible, a credible teaching series. And so this is, as I said, lesson 11. I can't brag on it enough. I'm going to read some of, I can't start from the beginning. I'm just going to read certain ones, certain paragraphs. And if I need to move on more quickly, I'll feel that in the spirit and do so. But 1 John 4, 1 through 3, and we just read that, but let's look at it again, because it'll help us to reiterate this, because it's the first paragraph I wanted to read. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And Gary says this, for many years I did not know what John meant by the statement, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And to be honest, he said, I have not met many preachers who do understand it. I have heard and read some ridiculous things concerning that statement. Many believe that John is saying these spirits are demons or devils and that they need to be cast out. I remember he said reading one book about how to cast out devils, and it basically said if you are not sure, I'd heard this growing up, believe me. If you're not sure if a person has a demon or not, try to get the person to say these words. Jesus is come in the flesh. Listen, they will repeat any. I've seen it. They'll repeat anything you want them to say. Or, you know, if it's a demon, they won't be able to say it. Oh, brother, he says, demons can say that all day long, and they will say it and laugh out loud that believers are so dumb. Or that they say, I can't say that, to make you think you're being effective and still laugh at your ignorance behind your back. And he said John is not talking about literal devils. Well, we understand that, right? He's not talking about literal devils when he's talking about try the spirits whether they are of God. He's talking about the unregenerate spirit of these false prophets who have gone out into the world, and the word and the two words gone out is very important. From where? From being in fellowship with us, John is referring to these same men with the spirit of Antichrist who went out from fellowship with John and the disciples. Well, let me skip on down. I'm having to pick and choose here. It's also good. He says a little history, and a little history does do us good. The first wave of false prophets and teachers in the early days of the gospel were what we call Judaizers. They claimed to be Christians. They openly said that Jesus is Messiah, but they added to the message of Christ by telling people that in order to be saved, they had to also keep the law of Moses. Specifically, they said persons had to be circumcised, grown men, in their flesh in order to be saved. They had at one time been part of the church in Jerusalem, and they used that occasion as validating their message. We are from the mother church, they would say, in Jerusalem, and we have been sent to teach you this message. And when the church of Jerusalem heard that, what was happening, they wrote a letter and sent it to the Gentile believers saying, and you can find the rest of that saying in Acts chapter 15 and verses 22 through 24, and I'm not going to read that. But let me read this paragraph. I think this will help us in our journey tonight. By the time of the year of 85 AD, when John wrote this epistle, the one we just read, the Spirit, how it speaks, the spirit of Antichrist. It was not the Judaizers that were the prime threat to Christianity. It was the other side of the ditch. Okay, now the problem switches. It's not the Judaizers trying to introduce the law. You got that? It's another attack. Now it's a different scheme, mode of operation. It was the other side of the ditch. Now it was those who were turning the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ into lasciviousness. At first, it was the legalism through the Judaizers. Now it's the greasy grace. Welcome to our age. Through these false prophets and teachers who are antichrist by teaching a different gospel than the one Jesus taught. Remember, there's two places, two churches. I think Ephesus is the first one. I don't know if it's Smyrna, Thyatira. But Jesus, in his prophecy, his revelation to John, he says that he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, if you study the Nicolaitans, it's very possible that that comes from one of the original seven chosen deacons, Nicholas, at Jerusalem. We can't prove that. History says that's the case. But we do know what their doctrine was. Their doctrine was very similar. It was a culmination of a whole, it was Christianity, but then they brought in a greasy grace. They brought in, you can do anything once you're saved and still be saved. And so Jesus said, I hate this doctrine. I hate it. Why? Because it will destroy the foundation of Christianity, and it'll destroy you if you follow along. At first it was legalism through the Judaizers. Now it is greasy grace through false prophets and teachers who are antichrist by teaching a different gospel than the one Jesus taught. Keep in context, he said. Notice John says in verse 3, this is the spirit of antichrist. John has already taught much about the spirit of antichrist in this letter. And then he refers and says, see lesson 5, the spirit of antichrist. And that's the other, there's a one specifically on antichrist. John says these antichrist people have gone out from us, but they were not of us. That means that they are portraying themselves still as Christians, even though they came to a place where they could no longer stay in fellowship with John. John says his fellowship is with the Father and the Son. When they break fellowship with John, it is because they are breaking fellowship with the Father and the Son. John is simply teaching what he heard Jesus teach more than 50 years earlier. It's amazing. Isn't it amazing? 50 years later, John teaches, or John writes this gospel, or this epistle. Here's a brief list of the things the Antichrist could not say, stay in fellowship with. And he gives a number of different things. And again, we're just going to be brief, and so many wonderful things that could be said here. Let me find another paragraph here. When they say Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, they are saying he did not come in as a human being. That's what they're saying. He could walk free from sin because he was God. We are just men. You can't expect us to walk as he walked. He was God, and we're men. So that gives them it gives it a great foundation to duck out on walking in righteousness. Another paragraph. You don't need the devil to have an antichrist spirit. Normal logic, sense-based fallen human reasoning is very much an antichrist spirit. I can't be like Jesus. Come on. Jesus is God in the flesh. I'm not like him. Only Jesus was able to live above sin. I'm forgiven, but I'm not changed to be like him. Come on. Who do you think I am? Jesus? Just a couple more, maybe. It's also a cop-out, he says, a justification for continuing sin, a conclusion based on sense knowledge and human reasoning rather than on the word of God. It's the opposite of faith. It's false doctrine based on sense knowledge and feeling rather than faith in God's word. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the same kind of fallen human flesh you are wearing. He is the Word, he is God, but he came as a man in fallen flesh, having the life of God in his spirit. He came as a prototype of the new species of man, the sons of God that the Father is going to populate the earth with. You have to grasp this in all caps, and I think this is the last paragraph I want to read for the time being. Jesus did nothing as God in the four Gospels. If he did anything because he was God in the flesh, then
He is no longer the prototype for us. Everything he did as a man born of God's Spirit. And anointed with the Holy Ghost and the power, he did it for the specific reason that believers could look at him and know who they are now that they are born again. Jesus is God, but he lived among us as a man. Wonderful teaching, a lot of good stuff. We could just keep reading that and you'd be edified. Hallelujah. Let's just talk about a little bit about, because what I want you to see is that the spirit of Antichrist in his seduction or in the repetition of that separates your ability to live holy, because it gives you an excuse, if you accept it, we're saying to the person that does or to the people that do, and this is part and partisan of this big, you know, thing that we've seen in the last two decades of the greasy grace or hyper grace message, is that that's Jesus, but I'm a man, you're a woman, we have, you know, we have quirks, we have problems, we have sin, and he will accept us just like we are to go on and continue to be sin. And the great excuse, as we've repeated three or four times already, is that he's God, but I'm man. But what we have to continue to put in front of us is that Jesus did nothing as God. He did everything as man. But also what it wants to do is to bring forth a sense of that there is a higher, let's see if I can explain this, that this spirit of Antichrist, it sets God, Christ, living out his life as God in the flesh, and he was God, but again, he did everything in humanity, but you can't get there. Do you understand that? If you follow, you can't get there because that's him and he's God. The spirit of Antichrist will also perpetuate itself in many other things and ways in which we'll look at a few examples in New Testament writings that doesn't say the spirit of Antichrist, but it is part of that spirit of Antichrist because it has the same nature. It continues to put an elevation to beyond our grasp, beyond our reach. And if something's beyond our reach that God has provided for us, then there's no need to reach for it because it's for only deity. And then that gives us that squelches, it brings it absolutely extinguishes any thought of you being able to do or be or say or work in power. Let's talk about some doctrines of devils that would relate to the spirit of Antichrist. Luke 11, this is just one of many. Verse 27 and 28. Luke 11, 27 and 28. And it came to pass as he, that's Christ, that's Jesus, as he was spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Does everybody understand that? They're talking. This woman speaks up while he's teaching and says, blessed be the womb that bare thee. Well, Mary is blessed. Praise God. That's wonderful. She gave birth to Jesus. And the paps, he's talking about, that's her breast that gave thee suck. And he said, it's like he didn't even acknowledge her. He just bypassed her by saying, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. So he's like, Dave said that spirit was already at work. Already at work from the very beginning to elevate Mary to a place of beyond reach. You see how this spirit works? doctrines of devils and spirits of a spirit of Antichrist is to set something beyond obtainable reach. And this is for the commons. I think all of us are common, right? Now you can listen to this because you know it so well, but I'll read it because this is for us. This is not for, you know, the fivefold. This is for all of us. Mark 16:15-18, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. When we get, you know, the closer we get to Christ, it's just going to continue to dawn or drop on us. This is so easy. It really is so easy. And for some crazy, odd reason, our flesh is trying to fight us to make it so hard. But it's just, he just unleashed us as born again, spirit-filled believers with no add-ons. No add-ons. And I think if there was another title, I could say, put no add-ons to this. Mary, you know, you want to get punched in the face by a good Roman Catholic. And this message tonight is by no means any kind of attack against the Catholic Church, or it's not even, it's above even, you know, any reference, although it's pertainable to certain things concerning Catholicism. But Mary is not the mother of God. She's absolutely not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus' human flesh. And I know that because many different reasons, but Colossians 1:16-18 says, for by him were all things created. That's talking about Christ. And if we'd have led up to that particular verse, I could have proved to you it's talking about not God the Father, but Jesus, the one that we call Jesus within the Word. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. Now he's talking about particular class of angels, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him. And he's talking about that he created the earth and he created all angelic beings, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, Mary carried the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she certainly did not mother God. This is wonderful. The one that stepped out of heaven and went microscopic into a womb of a woman actually was the one that created the very substance that Mary was. In other words, God prepared for him. It said the Father prepared for him a body. But from the very beginning, all matter came from the second person of the Godhead, including Mary's body. It's pretty cool, I think. And I'll just mention this to continue to refute that spirit that separates, that spirit of Antichrist. Mary did not remain a virgin. Although Catholicism says she did, and that all of her sons and daughters were, we talk about, were cousins, you know. Just like the spirit of Antichrist, which says only God could walk righteous, the spirit elevates Mary to a place of deity and separates God's place in humanity and also his power. Are you catching this? Now, we'll use other examples, but that's just one. Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 1. We'll stay on this example for just a few more minutes. Just concerning Mary and how the enemy tried to use her. Now, she's fine. She did nothing wrong. She's in heaven. But it's the doctrine of demons that have protested her proper place. Matthew 1:22 says this and following. Now all this was done, it's the latter part of the chapter, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God
with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And this is important. And it says he knew her not till, or you could say until, she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now it concludes that. You know, I don't have to get overly descriptive here. And it's really good that mostly we've got all adults here. But I will say this. This is just really very easy to understand. Very easy to understand. It says that he did not know her. And this is what is this talking about? It's talking about sexual intercourse. He did not know her until she had birthed Jesus. Now, I don't want to be rude here, but I just want to slap the spirit of Antichrist that separates the commonness of God coming in, of Christ living out in the flesh, and putting an elevation and separation into a place. As soon as Mary was healed, they began to do family things, okay? Even while she's nursing Christ, I mean, they would obviously separate into privacy. But he wasn't weaned, and for probably a year or so, they became husband and wife and do what husband and wives do. And God used her for whatever purpose he used her for. But it's so important for us to understand that from the very beginning, in every part of the gospel, in every part of the truth, the spirit of Antichrist was trying to circumvent itself and put a separation into a higher order so that there is women, you can be women and love God, but there's this separation of a virgin that obviously she was a virgin when she conceived and gave birth. But she didn't remain a virgin. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful in a good sense of the word, of how Christ works with his daughters, or God works with his daughters. The spirit of Antichrist separates our priesthood from the simplicity given to us in Christ. It makes it unavailable without further commitment past born again and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again so you can digest it. The spirit of Antichrist separates our priesthood, because all of us are kings and priests, right? That's what the book of Revelation says. It separates us from the simplicity given to us in Christ. It makes it unavailable without, some kind of further past born again promise or commitment. And I'll say what I'm going to say is, make sure that you don't have any quirks in your, keep it simple. Keep your prayer life simple. Keep your going forward in Christ simple. Don't put any quirky things or add-ons. Can you give me an example? We will. It's add-ons, and be careful of add-ons. Revelation 1, 5, and 6, and I'll read that because we're just talking about priesthood. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, that's us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us, he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope so. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, I'm not going to tell you that this is the, what I'm going to say here is exclusive interpretation of this, because we might bring out some more, but I'm just going to give you one slant on this, one particular thought process on this. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4, and we'll read down through verse 3. And again, this does not say anything about it being the spirit of Antichrist, but it is a close kindred because of what its operation is in separation and the add-ons and putting something out of reach from us. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that's the Holy Spirit,
that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. How so? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What will they do? What will be their message? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And as I said, this is not the only, don't just put this as a down as dyed in wool as the only part of, because there's more to be brought out on this scripture. But there are religions, and again, I'm not attacking, but I'm just saying, just according to scripture, there are religions that put their priest in a higher order than the commons, and I'm referring to us as commons, by saying that abstaining from marital practice put you in a higher place with God. Just like the spirit of Antichrist that says only God could walk perfect, then this spirit says, by what we just read, only abstainable men and women can be priests or nuns or whatever, because they abstain and they go to a higher place. You're on a lower plane, but we're separating, and isn't that something? That's kind of like Hinduism. Have you ever studied Hinduism? Well, I have. It was a requirement. But Hinduism is a transmigration religion. In other words, you can't know God face to face. You have to go through a transmigration, and it may take you several reincarnations, you have to go through, and you may take you centuries. You may have been born as a bug, and then been next time born as, you know, an animal of given stature, whatever. And then you can, but each time that you go through this, you get a little closer to God, and because God can't not touch you, because He's holy, and you're, praise God for the born again, right? I got born again. And any doctrine of devil that says, oh, wait a minute. Well, Paul said he had received a grace. There was a grace that Paul said that if, you know, and then he wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, now, if you want to do this, I don't want to put a yoke on you, but if you want to, you know, go full time in the ministry and, you know, like Paul, I don't know who in the world he could have been married to, but because my God, bless her heart, she would have known where he was at any time. And he was getting beat up all the time. There was no life insurance, and he sure needed it. And there was no, you know, and so he just knew that the only way to give his life based on what God was calling him, but he said, you know, I could do like Peter, Cephas. I could take a wife. I could, you know, or these different ones. But religions or any, and it's again, I'm not, let's not get off on a track here thinking about what I'm wanting to continue to introduce to you is how this spirit works. It wants to separate the commonness or the what Christ came to do among us by putting a higher order. You can't have marital relationship and be a king and a priest or priest unto God. Be careful of add-ons that will put things out of your reach. Do not require anything of yourself that is not word-based. Be careful that we do not frustrate the simplicity of Christ by any practice in our spiritual life. We're doing really good tonight. What would you say? What are some of the things, in a common sense of the word, and I'm not saying these are spirit directly of Antichrist, but having just taken the last 30, 40 minutes and examined how that this spirit from the beginning in a number of different ways wanted to separate and say, you can't do that because you can't be like him because that's God. And he was God, but he didn't
act like God. He didn't live like God. And it's throughout, you see this thing working throughout the Word of God with Mary, with Paul's prophecy to us, to Timothy, be careful because in the last days there will be a spirit that will separate. And again, there's more to be said there. But that continual, God's up there, you can't reach him except you go through obtainable processes, and it takes away from just the simplicity of being born again, spirit-filled, and walking in the fullness of God. And that's all we're supposed to do. What would you say would be other examples, Pastor? Well, not to get nitpicky, but to get absolutely... Be careful that any time that you appreciate the law or shadows, that you don't become entrenched in them. You can study, the Passover and enjoy it. You can think about it and say, okay, that's this and that or whatever, how they did the, you know, they roasted the lamb and they ate the lamb, and you can appreciate that. I don't know if you want to practice any of that, but the moment that you begin to think that we did that, you know what? That made us feel closer to God. That's the moment you've stepped into. He's pulling on the add-ons. Well, I like to go in. I've never heard this around here. I'm just kind of trying to figure out things to throw out. I like to put on a prayer shawl, a shofar. And that just makes me feel so much more in the presence of God. Bless your darling heart. Are you getting anything? Now this might really... I just plead the blood. And I grew up, we pled the blood over everything. We put the blood on this and we put the blood on that. You can't find one place, not one place where Jesus or any of the apostles pled the blood. You can't find it. Well, I plead the blood over this, and I plead... Listen, use the name of Jesus. Well, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12:11, you know, it's talking about the end time events. I know it. But it's talking about the power of the blood that birthed you into the kingdom. It doesn't give you any instructions about, well, I just feel good when I plead the blood over our... But what, okay... What about if you forget that day? Is something bad going to happen? Listen, I'm just as protected every day not pleading the blood as you are pleading the blood. But be careful about add-ons and things that you put on yourself that'll just tap your Christian, you know, like, oh, did I forget that? Or did I not put that? I might have... You'll get into... some Christian incantations after a while. If you don't watch it, I forgot that. I should have done that. No, this is all just a fellowship in Christ. Dave, oh, bless his darling heart. He messed me up and half of us. You know how he'd make fun of the warring tongue. Well, I did it. Like everybody else. And he'd come in and he'd give the warring tongue example. And then say, you know what? You're not doing anything else with any more authority. Then it, now I'll tell you where you'll learn that. You don't even have to have a day. If you've got like a, if he's told you to do 3 or 4 hours, you might start out like, in about an hour and a half, you'll be like, and it won't be one bit of your volume and your the way you shout or the way you be just careful of add-ons. Just keep it simple. Are y'all getting anything? The spirit of Antichrist is far more, and I'm not saying those things in particular are necessarily, but it has a kiss and cousin effect to it because it is, or in other words, it's a branch chain of things because, and we all, as we go forward in Christ, we have to say, now, in my prayer life, in my confessions, in what I'm doing and employing, is what I'm doing word-based? Is it word-based? Can I say it to the whole body of Christ? One of the things was, what did he say? And Timothy said, they'll abstain from certain foods. Listen, if you don't want to eat pork, something wrong with you. Bacon, you don't. Listen, if you want to lower your cholesterol and not, that's fine. That's fine. But the moment that you step over and saying, I'm abstaining from that dish, and there's something inside of me that just really, it took me to another level in God. It's just like practicing the Passover feast. It took me, you know, we lit candles and, now, you know, the Holy Spirit will, if you worship God, the Holy Spirit will come. But if you think going through some kind of semantics of the law or any add-ons, because what it does, then it takes it away from the simplicity of the rest of the body. And the plain and simple of it is just fast and pray and read your word and stay in the Spirit. And we'll have our outpouring. Hallelujah. Amen. Let you go a little bit early. How about that? Maybe you'd give me a hand on that. All right, let's all stand. Love you out there. You're wonderful. I've got to take a quick trip to Phoenix after service on Sunday. I'll be here, and then I'll be back Tuesday. I won't miss any services, but pray for me. We're going out there to do the memorial service for Andrea. So, hallelujah. And my goodness, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, I saw where it was 109 actual. That's not heat index. You know, we get, so that's hot weather out there. But I did tell Sarah, I said, are you jealous? Because I said, I'm going to have dinner with your family Monday night. So, how that's wrong, isn't it? Hallelujah. So we're looking forward to seeing the Glimbus. I am. Candy's not going, so. Hallelujah. You're blessed, and we bless all of you. Have a wonderful evening. May the hand of God be upon your life. Keep it simple. Keep going forward and be empowered by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.